On the rhythms on the EKGs.
Okay. Do you have any specific questions on them?
Well, I was trying to get to my PowerPoint, but are you going to give us pictures of them, or is it going to be more, this is what's going on, what is it?
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
So just make sure that you can, associate symptoms with the rhythm that's occurring.
Okay.
And I haven't posted it yet because I just got finished making it, but I did make y'all a kind of practice with the rhythms. And so I'll get that posted tonight as well. But let me pull it up and y'all can tell me if you think this would be helpful. So, do y'all think having this to kind of fill out and study with would be beneficial?
I think so.
Okay. And you can be honest because I want to do whatever I can to help y'all. So, if you think it'll be beneficial, that's awesome. If you don't think really, I don't want to, give y'all something else to overwhelm you and take away from your time.
For me, I think it'll be good, but I mean, I don't know about everybody else.
Well, that's fine. I'll get it posted after office hours, and then that way, if somebody wants it, they can use it, and if not, no feelings are hurt. Have you found anything in your notes that you needed clearing up?
I did have a question just to make sure. You said nice to know, don't have to know on
Yes.
the first and second degree AV blocks.
Correct.
Okay, but the third, that was a probably need to know.
Yes, that is a need to
Okay.
know. And y'all know what I mean when I say like nice to know versus
Right.
need to know. Okay.
Right.
Yes. The first and second degree blocks I put in there just so you can say that you've heard of them. But NCLEX really loves third degree because third degree is a medical emergency. Let me pull one up and we can go over it together. So this is a third degree. What do y'all know about third degree heart blocks?
Isn't that the one we have to fix quick? Or
Yes.
okay.
Why do y'all think we have to fix it quick? What's going on?
And that's something to do with the pacemaker, not, I mean, the SI node.
So we have to fix it quick because no perfusion is happening, right? So the left ventricle and the right ventricle aren't talking to each other. Does that make sense? Can y'all tell that by looking at this rhythm? Let's see if I can. So where, what sticks out to y'all about this rhythm? And I'll kind of circle whatever y'all say. Does nothing stick out to y'all about the rhythm?
Isn't that like the only one where it's like upside down?
It's not quite upside down, but so this is third degree. I've said that. Let me write that on here. A third degree heart block. Looking at this rhythm here, how do we know that's third degree heart block? How do we go about identifying rhythms?
Looking at the PQR, it's like the P of the P.
Okay, so we look for P waves and we look for QRSs. What else?
Then like there's only three on there, so that's like 30
Okay,
beats per minute.
so we know it's like 30 beats per minute. So what about this rhythm makes it a complete heart block versus sinus brady? What's the difference? Y'all don't be scared. I want to help you.
Well, What was your question again? Why is it not sinus, Brady?
Yeah, so
It's
what
okay.
about this rhythm makes it a complete heart block, a third degree heart block? We know that the rate is about 30 beats per minute, but how do we know it's not sinus Brady?
Is it because the QRS is dropped?
It's not because it's dropped. So what does sinus mean? Let me.
The rhythm's normal,
Yeah, it's
or the
regular.
rate, yeah.
Yes, let me stop sharing so I can pull up two different ones so that y'all can see them side by side. Okay, what's the difference between these two?
The rhythm.
Okay. What do you mean when you say just the rhythm?
There's more space in between the first one and the second one than the
Okay.
second and the third one.
Meaning there's more space up here.
Yes.
Okay. When you mean space, are you talking about between the QR?
Seconds. Yes.
Okay.
Between the P's and yeah, the QR, the top.
So what is this a P wave or a QRS?
QRS.
Okay. So I'll circle the QRSs. Okay, and what about the P waves? Where are those?
In front of that, the little bump.
So are you talking about right here?
Yes.
Okay, there's one. Where's another one? So all of these are P waves. So is this rhythm regular?
No.
Okay. What do, let me see how I want to phrase this. So what do the QRSs represent in the heart? Like what part of the heart does that represent?
Ventricle.
Right. And what about the P wave? What part of the heart?
Atrium.
Okay. Does it look like the ventricles and the atriums are working together in this rhythm?
No.
Exactly. That is the difference. So down here, you see how it's very uniform. There is a QRS, there's a P wave in front of every QRS. And it is also regular. Everything lines up beautifully. So this down here is sinus brady. And this is third degree. Y'all see the difference?
Yes, ma'am.
Does that help in comparison, knowing how to or differentiate between the two?
Yeah, I think I was kind of thrown off by the extra P waves.
Yes, because the atrium and the ventricles aren't talking to each other. They're not working in unison. And so they're just going about their own thing, not worried about the other. That's why P waves are just everywhere. You want to look at some more rhythms?
Sure.
Well, if there's something else y'all want to, look at, I'm happy to pull anything up.
I'm terrible with rhythms, so I'm good with that.
Well, let's look at them. Let me find us some more. What in particular about the rhythms do y'all need help with?
Well, you just helped with the block in the sinus brady.
Is it the identifying the rhythm or kind of
Yes.
core? So it's just the identification, but once you identify it, are y'all able to like correlate symptoms and management?
Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about relating the symptom to what's going on with the heart and the EKG.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So it's just initially identifying the rhythm.
For me, it is. I don't know about everybody else.
Yeah, that's my issue too.
Well, let's look at it. Can y'all see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So, what are y'all's thoughts on this rhythm? Just initial thoughts by looking at it.
It's not normal
Okay.
sinus.
So, it's not normal sinus. That's correct. What else?
Looks kind of fast, maybe.
Okay, it looks fast. That's also correct.
It doesn't look regular.
Okay, that's also correct. It doesn't look regular. How'd you determine that?
The peas and the squiggle.
The QRSs aren't evenly spaced.
Yeah, so the QRSs aren't evenly spaced, so that means that the R to R interval is not consistent. So we've identified that it's not regular, that it is, sorry, somebody's trying to get in. Let me let them in. Okay, so we've identified that it is not regular. And we did that by seeing that the QRSs or the R to R interval is not evenly spaced. Somebody said something about the P waves. Who said something about P
I
waves?
did. They just look like squiggles. They're
Okay,
not.
yeah. They look like squiggles. So
It
we're.
almost looks like the saw blade thing, the atrial flutter.
That's exactly what it is. Sorry, this is really hard to write with a mouse. It is a flutter. We kind of identified it by the sawtooth. And knowing that it's not regular. So, what else do y'all know about a flutter? Like clinical manifestations, what might it feel like for the patient?
They're gonna have palpitations.
Okay, they might have some palpitations.
Shortness
What?
of breath.
Okay, they might have some shortness of breath. Anything else? Those are all right answers. So what are we worried about with a patient who has a flutter or a fib?
A stroke, maybe.
Yeah, stroke. Why?
Okay.
Because the blood's not flowing correctly.
Okay, the blood's not flowing correctly. What do you mean when you say that? You're right.
Like it's just sitting, and once if it's fluttering, it's not pumping it all the way through. So it's just,
Yeah,
I don't know.
it's kind of sitting. It's pooling, and so that makes them high risk for what?
Ischemia? No.
Clots.
Clots. That's right. So
And then
a lot. Go ahead.
I said ischemia, but I meant clots, but a clot would cause ischemia, right?
Yeah. A clot can
Okay.
cause ischemia. So a lot of these people, they're going to be on anticoagulants, right?
Yes.
Okay. What other medicines might they be on?
Beta blocker.
Okay, a beta blocker. What's an example? Like, name a beta blocker.
Metoprolol.
Metoprolol. So, what are we worried about with metoprolol? What do we want to assess?
Heart rate, blood pressure.
Heart rate and blood pressure. When would you not give it?
Under 55.
I think what's the golden rule quote, I think it's under 60.
Six.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Under 60. What other medicines might these people need? What if their heart rate gets really high? The beta blocker will help with that, but what are some other medicines?
There's one you said with a D. I remember saying down, but I don't remember what the word was.
Okay,
It
yes.
starts with A.
That one will be for a different rhythm, and we'll go over that one
Okay.
next. The medicine I'm thinking of starts with an A.
Amiodarone.
Amiodarone. What do y'all know about that drug?
Not much.
Not much.
I
Well, tell me
seen it on
which.
our PowerPoint this week for farm. That's all I know.
Well, tell me what you do know, and then I'll help kind of clear any muddy waters. How about that? What's it for?
Can't you use it for, could you heart failure? I don't know. I'm driving. I can't.
Isn't it used for like SVT and stuff like that?
Okay, so it can be, yeah, so heart failure is not incorrect. But it's not the disease, it's the complications for that it would be used for. So like dysrhythmias. So for amiodarone, we use it because we don't want the heart rate to get too high. Because if we know that they're at a high risk for blood clots, what do y'all think happens if we Jack, if their heart rate, jacks up, does that increase their risk?
Yes.
Exactly. So, like on my PowerPoint, I think I said, some people live in AFib their whole life and they're fine. But the key to it is that they're rate controlled, meaning their heart rate is within a normal range and it's not too high. So, if somebody's in AFib and their heart rate gets really high, we're going to give them amiodarone to try to bring it back to a normal rate. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But you might use it in heart failure as well because they're at high risk for arrhythmias. What other, let's see, what else might somebody with a flutter or AFib need if, say, they have a high heart rate and the amiodarone does not work?
Cardioversion.
Cardioversion. What does that look like?
Not very nice. It's when they shock you.
Yeah. And so they do shock you. What is our job in cardioversion?
What is our job when we shop them?
Yeah, just tell me everything you know about cardioversion.
Oh, my shock room. Nobody needs to be touching. That
Okay,
way
that's right.
the defib.
Nobody needs to be touching.
We're checking for a pulse.
So if we're, do y'all see my new screen? Can y'all see that it switched?
I can.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So the difference between cardioversion and defibrillation is that cardioversion, they have a pulse. So the patient is conscious. It's only done by the healthcare provider. You're going to have consent for it. You still have to like tell everybody that you're about to shock because it's the exact same thing. The only difference is that with a cardioversion, you have to sync it. And that means that the machine, so this, when you press sync, it analyzes the patient's rhythm so that it shocks them on the correct part of the heartbeat. Why do y'all think that it's important to shock on the correct part of the heartbeat for cardioversion?
You don't make it worse.
Yeah, it can make it worse if it shocks the wrong part of the cycle. So why does that not matter for defibrillation? They ain't got no pulse. It don't matter when you shock them. That's right. So remember, if we're what rhythms would we use defibrillation?
Is it AFib?
Not AFib, because in AFib they have a pulse. So think of rhythms that don't have a pulse for defibrillation.
Asystole.
Not asystole.
VFib.
VFib is one of them. So for VFib, you defib. And there's one more.
VTAC.
What kind of VTAC?
Pulseless.
Pulseless VTAC, that's right. So the reason that we don't shock asystole is because there's no electricity happening. We can only shock a heart that has some kind of electrical current, and in asystole, there's no electrical current. Does that make sense?
So you said pulseless VTAC, we do the defib.
Correct.
Okay.
So now y'all tell me the difference between cardioversion and defibrillation.
Cardio version, you have to have a heartbeat, and you have to shock on the right part of the beat.
That's
And the
correct.
defib, you don't have the pulse.
You don't have a pulse, but you have to have what?
Some sort of electrical activity.
correct, some sort of electrical activity. Did that kind of clear it up for y'all?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, so what questions do you have?
I don't really have a question. I'm just going to have to get them straight, like which one is which.
Well, if you think of a question, just let me know.
Okay.
But if you can remember that VFib is DFib, like that's what you do for it, then if your brain can associate that, like, ventricular fibrillation is pulseless, and so I need to think of other pulseless rhythms that I can shock to do defib. So what about this rhythm?
So VTAC?
It is VTAC. How did you determine that?
They look like tombstones.
That I haven't heard that one. I always say like shark teeth. But yes, that is VTAC. And what do y'all know about VTAC?
Don't have a pulse.
Well, do
they can have, they can have.
So they may or may not have a pulse. What else?
Electrolyte imbalance.
Okay, yeah, a lot of it can be caused by electrolyte imbalance. So if you hear your patient's monitor, like alarm go off, and you see this on the rhythm, what should you do first?
Go look at them.
Go look at your patient.
At least make sure they're not moving it around.
Okay, that's right. Make sure they have a pulse. They always assess the patient, not the monitor. So you determine that they do not have a pulse. What do you do?
CPR.
Yes. Immediately start CPR and call a code. And then what would we do? So we're doing CPR, we call the code. We would shock it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Which we determined is called what?
Defibrillation.
Defibrillation. So if you see that on the monitor and you go and you assess your patient and you find that they do have a pulse, what do y'all think that we do?
Monitor and call the doctor.
Okay, call the doctor. What might the doctor tell you to do? What orders might he give you?
Amiodarone.
Amiodarone, that's right. So an antiarrhythmic. And if amiodarone doesn't work, what do y'all think he might do? Or she?
Cardioversion?
Cardioversion. So why are we cardioverting that one, but defibrillating when they don't have a pulse?
Because you only cardiovert when they do have a pulse.
Can you cardiovert when they do have a pulse? That's right. What questions do y'all have about that? So what if the patient has a high risk for going into VTAC and the doctor decides that that patient is going to get an ICD? What is that?
It's an internal defibrillator.
It's an internal defibrillator. Why might somebody get one of those? And we said that it's high risk for arrhythmias, but what would make somebody high risk, y'all think?
When they get out.
Okay, I think somebody's talking, but I can't hear.
What was your question?
What would cause somebody, we determined that they might need an ICD if they're at high risk for dysrhythmias, but what makes them high risk? Like, what are some causes of that?
Their ejection fraction.
Okay, a low ejection fraction. What about like cardiomyopathy? Do some people who have cardiomyopathy need an ICD?
Yes.
So what can y'all think of that would be some teachings that you would give to your patient when they get an ICD?
What to do if it goes off?
Okay, what to do if it goes off? Signs and symptoms of infection.
Their caregivers need to know CPR.
Your caregivers need to know CPR.
You can't have MRIs, right?
Correct. So they need to avoid MRI machines. Why is that?
Because they're magnetic.
I heard magnetic. I heard somebody else say something. I just couldn't hear it.
I just said magnetic.
Yes, it's a literal giant magnet. And that would get the ICD out of position so they can't go into those. That's a huge one. And then another huge one is going to be, what to do if the ICD fires. We actually had a patient yesterday in my unit who came in. He had a syncopal episode at home. His history include end-stage renal disease. He gets dialysis Monday, Wednesday, Friday. He had cardiomyopathy. He had an ICD. So he came to my unit because his rhythm was kind of all over the place. And they had to check out his ICD to see if it was doing what it was supposed to do. And they ended up having to make some changes on it, on the settings, because they can do all that electronically. And then he was able to go home and he was fine, thankfully. But that will happen. A patient will say that it fires at home, meaning that it shocked them. And they'll have to, come to the hospital to get the device checked out. What about like arm restrictions?
Don't lift heavy because it can get dislodged.
It can get dislodged, that's right, if you lift anything heavy.
Submerge it.
Don't submerge the arm, or we don't want to submerge
The
the incision
incision.
site. Yes. Another thing with the arms that we don't want to do, besides like lifting anything heavy, I always tell them, heavier than a jug of milk, is like push and pull with that arm and lift it above our head. We don't want to do any of that. And that goes with for a like pacemaker as well. Do y'all want to talk about pacemaker some? Or do y'all feel like y'all have a good grasp on them?
We can talk about them to see what you're going to ask.
Okay, so there's two different types, right? What kind of rhythm would need a pacemaker? We talked about it earlier.
If it's too slow.
Okay, if it's too slow, what rhythm in particular do y'all think? Any guesses? We've already determined it's going to be a slow rhythm.
Would it be Brady? Sinus Brady?
Okay, so it could be sinus Brady, but what It would have to be symptomatic, right? We're not going to do anything for asymptomatic bradycardia. There's another huge one. This rhythm will always equal a pacemaker.
Is it a heart block? Is it
Yes, it is.
third degree? Anything for
It is third degree heart block. That one will always require a pacemaker. Why is that? So, what's the difference between a pacemaker and an ICD?
the ICD is just for dysrhythmias, and the pacemaker sends the
So the
know.
ICD, no, you're right. Okay, so an ICD can shock a dysrhythmia, and a pacemaker will make the heartbeat. So why do y'all think that a third degree heart block or a complete heart block will always require a pacemaker? Because what did we say was happening?
The atria and ventricles are not working together, so would it like prompt the atria to contract?
Yes, they're not working together, so the pacemaker is going to make them work together. Does that make sense for y'all? Do y'all have any questions about that? So it makes sense of why a third degree heart block will always need a pacemaker and the difference between a pacemaker and an ICD.
Yes, it makes sense.
Sweet. So what are the different types of pacemakers?
You talking about temporary or permanent?
Yep. And there's different types of temporary pacemakers too, right?
Yes.
What are they?
Cutaneous, which are
Okay,
pads.
transcutaneous, which would be pads.
Transvenous.
And transvenous. The other one is epicardial. Y'all don't really need to. That's a nice to know. But a need to know would be you can pace with the defibrillator pads. And there's also transvenous. So when might you use the pads to pace somebody? Any thoughts?
You're asking when we would use the pads versus the transvenous?
Yeah, so, or just when might you use the pads to pace somebody?
is it when the ventricles don't beat and then they do?
So you'll use the pads to pace somebody. That's going to be like a bridge to get to the transvenous. So pads is a quick fix, right? You just slap them on there and tell the machine to be a pacemaker. The transvenous, that's going to require a procedure. So somebody might need the quick fix, the pads, until they can get the procedure, which means like getting the procedure room ready, the physician, you know, all the people who work in the procedural area to be able to insert the transvenous. So just know that, you know, using the pads to pay somebody, that's a quick fix as a bridge to get them something more substantial. So what about permanent pacemakers? What do y'all know about those?
They're surgically placed.
They're surgically placed.
I wrote down leads the size of number two pencil eraser. But that's all so, I wrote down.
So that was a little like nice to know. They make them leadless now. I don't think that y'all's book talks about it, but the whole pacemaker itself in that leadless one is the size of a pencil eraser. So maybe the next edition of the book will talk about those, because those are used a lot more than the ones with the leads, at least in my facility where I work. And to make it easy for y'all, just know the difference between the ICD and the pacemaker, like why somebody would need which one. But the post-op teaching is going to be the same. If somebody gets a permanent pacemaker, we're going to teach them the same thing that we would if they get an ICD. Does that help y'all?
Yes.
What other questions do y'all have about rhythms? Do you have any more questions about rhythms?
On the SVT, yeah, SVT.
That's where I was headed to.
Okay.
No, no, go ahead, ask your question.
So we asked them to bear down, and that's supposed to help try to get it back right. And if that doesn't work, you know, do something else.
Yeah. So you always do, you know, least invasive to most invasive. So when you ask your patient to bear down, it'll have the vagal response, which can slow the heart rate down. That's why people will pass out sometimes on the toilet, is because they're bearing down so much. So that's kind of the thought process behind it, is if they're an SVT and, you know, the heart rate's really high, we want to slow it down, we ask them to bear down. But that's where the adenosine comes in. So what do y'all know about adenosine?
That's the one with the D.
That's the one with
Blood
the D,
pressure
so
can go
it'll
down.
blood pressure can go down, but it's gonna make the heart rate go down, right?
Oh, yes. Uh-oh.
So what else if so your patient, you're at bedside, you're with the doctor, your patient is in SVT, y'all are sitting there looking at it on the monitor, and he says, let's give adenosine. So you prepare the adenosine, you give it, what might you see on the monitor for a second?
Nothing.
Exactly, asystole. It's not uncommon to see that right when you give adenosine. And then, pending everything goes according to plan, the heart starts back up. And it's only a brief second that it happens. But that's not unexpected. So what's the other A drug that we give that has the opposite effect?
Amiodarone.
Not amiodarone. It's the opposite
Atropine.
effect of adenosine, atropine. When would we give that?
Hypotension. Low heart rate.
So which
Low blood
rhythm?
pressure. Sinus Brady.
Sinus Brady, but what? It's got to be symptomatic, right? What do I mean when I say like symptomatic versus asymptomatic bradycardia? Is everybody who's bradycardic going to have symptoms?
No.
Who might not have symptoms? What kind of person might it be normal for them to have a heart rate, say, 50?
If they're on medicine, that makes it low. I mean,
Potentially, but this is more of a how do I want to say this?
it athletes? Don't they normally have a low heart rate?
Yes, it's athletes. So that's why we say that, we treat symptomatic bradycardia because, for instance, my best friend, she works out all the time. Okay. She had to turn the alarms off of her watch because it kept alarming her for a low heart rate, but her normal is like 45 to 50. But that's just because of the conditioning that she's done for years and years, and that's her normal. So if she came into the hospital for whatever reason, they wouldn't give her atropine because that's her normal. Y'all see the difference?
Yes.
What other questions y'all got for me?
Are you going to ask us how they're supposed to be placed? The EC, EKG leads.
So, what do you think is the most important thing about EKG lead placement?
Make sure it's not on a bone.
Okay, so just making sure it's in the right place, right?
Right.
So, for y'all, what I want you to know is that if you're getting something wonky, to just check your leads. But at this place, like at this point in the program, I mean, y'all are about done. You're about to graduate. My focus for y'all is, safety and recognizing signs and symptoms and knowing what to do with it. What other questions do y'all have? Do y'all have any questions about like the valves or cardiomyopathy? No questions about those? You have any other questions about any rhythms or pacemakers?
I do have a question about the tables. There was like three or four tables you wanted us to look at on the cardiomyopathy and stuff. Do you want us to
Okay.
know those tables or just read
Let
those
me.
tables?
Let me look to see which tables they are.
One
If I
is
ref,
40.17.
if I
Oh, that's
reference
their
them,
teaching.
then they're important.
Thirty-eight seven, the drugs, just the ones that decrease preload. Is that?
So when it comes to the table on the drugs, I just thought that that was a good table that had all of the drugs that I discussed for all of or most of the content in one central location. Patient and like caregiver teaching is always important. What other questions might y'all have? No more questions?
I don't have any more.
Well, if y'all don't have any other questions, I'll let you enjoy your Friday night. Remember, too, that there's that discussion board that you can always post questions on. I look at it every day.
I have a question, it's not about the content. I was just seeing when our grades would be posted, if y'all know.
As soon as we can. I don't imagine that they'll be posted this weekend. I would look for maybe Monday. But just as soon as we can, we'll get those to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Well, if y'all think of any questions, either put them on the discussion board or you can always email me and I'm happy to answer them.